This is an Equity Bates Media podcast.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
One of the big questions is,
what is money?
For practical purposes, it exists in a series of heterogeneous databases, very different databases.
Do you believe in crypto?
Digital currency may be an answer.
But it is a highly speculative asset.
I do own Bitcoin.
There is no second best.
Welcome to the Crypto Curious Podcast, your weekly crypto crash course. Every Wednesday, join us in the dynamic world of cryptocurrency as we cover everything from major news stories to rapid-fire news bites. Whether you're starting out or a crypto veteran, we've got your back. Tune in, laugh, and learn. It's crypto made easy. Strap in for today's episode as we unpack Tether's record-breaking Q4, dive into the buzz and controversy of the Juniper airdrop, and shine a light on the scams that are lurking in the crypto shadows. You won't want to miss this one. My name's Tracy, and I'm joined by Blake and Craig to bring you this week's crypto news. Hello, podcast husbands. How are you?
Hey, Trace. Doing pretty well. Yeah. How are you doing, Craig?
Good, mate. NFT mints, airdrops. It's all sounding all very familiar this week.
It is. It is definitely on the rise. And you just mentioned NFT mints. What happened? Let's go back quickly, because last week we talked about Quantum Cats and you had a bit of trouble with this mint. Tell us what happened, because this has really only come to light in the last 12 hours.
Yeah, so as I shared exclusively on Crypto Curious, I was in the market to acquire a Quantum Cat. I got up at 2:30 a.m., 3 a.m. to mint it. Didn't work. And then they posted again for the next night. And I thought, cool, this is me on again. Went to wake up again. Didn't work. Another crash, or they delayed it or something. They posted a third date. And then I checked it before I went to bed. They delayed it again. They delayed it about 3 or 4 times. And they said, you know what? We're canceling all the mints happening on the 5th of Feb. And I thought to myself, for 0.1 Bitcoin, I just don't think it's the best use of funds. If it was 0.01 Bitcoin, maybe. But that's expensive. That's like $4,000. So, I passed on the mint.
Were you put off because of all of these false starts?
I put off because of the delays. I was put off because, you know, it's one thing delaying it, but it's another thing delaying it 3 or 4 times. For me to spend $4,000 on a picture of a cat, you know, I want some securities. So, I passed on the mint, which means it will probably 10x.
Well, it's already done incredibly well.
Well, it did sell out.
Mate, you should have messaged everyone and told us that you weren't buying so we could all get in.
Yeah, well, it did sell out, which is no surprise. I think that was always the expectation that it would sell out, but it hasn't hit the secondary market yet. So, ignorance is bliss. I don't want to talk about it again. If it 10Xs, I don't want to know about it.
All right, next week we will have some updates on the price movement.
Let's follow this intriguing story, ladies and gentlemen. But let's kick on to our first story with some big news from Tether in their latest Q4 report. It's not just good news, it's great news. They've confirmed that they're sitting on excess reserves and around $5 billion in total. This is after reporting a $2.9 billion profit for Q4 of last year. And this is huge for us in the crypto space, considering how big Tether is and acts as basically the backbone for all trading operations, Craig.
Yeah, Tether has been around for some time now, and it's always sort of had a bit of a stigma of being the dodgy crowd, especially a few years ago. But now, especially in the last 2 or 3 years, they've like cemented themselves as a proper stayer. And with them, it's all about the confidence that they're legit, because they have enough to essentially they could crash the market. So, you know, when they release these reports, it really enforces to the market the stability and the reliability of the stablecoin. And as you said, Trace, it is a key piece of the puzzle for the market for sure.
Yeah, it's just really probably important to emphasize the transparency. There was not much transparency in the early days of Tether. You know, maybe they had some problems or maybe they didn't have assets backed one-to-one, but these guys are making so much money, they've been able to, you know, ensure that they're now profitable and they're growing quite rapidly and that they can, you know, be audited. You know, they've got their books in line.
Okay. And thinking ahead, what does this mean for the future, this level of transparency and financial health for someone like Tether and being the new standard? Like you said, there wasn't this transparency before. How does this impact the broader crypto community?
I think it's huge because I think gone are the days of like maybe this cycle is the cycle that institutions get involved. And I think these stable coins are obviously going to want to be the stable coin of choice. And, you know, we've seen Circle wanting to IPO. So they're going to be in a bit of a battle here to sort of secure that. So I think both companies, the more transparent they are, I think it's just good things for the space to get rid of that stigma of being a bit dodgy. So
does Tether have a good rap now?
For sure.
Yeah, well, I think what's important to note here is that Tether wasn't able to get audited in the earlier days because none of the financial institutions were comfortable with taking such a big risk and actually doing the audit in case they miss saying. And then
who audits them now?
I don't know. I have to look at it, but I have seen audits come out, snapshot in time type audits. But I think it's also important to point out that there's apparently what I'm hearing is that USDC, which is the second largest stablecoin, has got getting a lot of regulatory slack in the US, particularly with their upcoming IPO. And there could be a lot of pressure from SEC and other regulators about you know, the regulatory standing. And as a result, they've been losing market share for the last few years, or at least the last year, against Tether. And I think that was kind of a bit of a genius move by Tether going offshore. I think they're Bahamas-based or Cayman-based, and your USDC has gone down the regulatory route and tried to tackle regulation head-on. As a result, less people want to use that coin because they're concerned about, you know, the instability in that landscape in the US.
And just to answer your question, Trace, they were audited by BDO, which is...
Well, there you go. Reputable. But overall, it is clear that Tether's latest financial report is very good news for Tether holders and a positive step forward for the crypto community. So we'll see how that looks this time next year when they're putting their financial reports out. Let's move on to our next story, folks. This one we wanted to talk about today as it caught the eye of many in the crypto community over the last week. It was a recent Jupiter airdrop on the Solana blockchain. So we can talk a little bit further about the airdrop craze that is sweeping the crypto community after this one. But let's talk a little bit about this Jupiter airdrop first, Craig.
Yeah, so Jupiter is a project on the Solana network. It is a DEX, so think of Uniswap, which is a DEX on Ethereum. This is a DEX on Solana. They actually overtook Uniswap with their daily trading volume of $480 million, but that's no surprise when there's an airdrop. Like, I think everyone is sort of running towards that. But yeah, the token surged 77% following the airdrop. Yeah, this is sort of the start of people calling it the Solana airdrop season. Blake, do you want to maybe talk about airdrops in particular? Because we do see this every few years, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. So airdrops are something unique to crypto. And the reason that it's unique to crypto is that everyone's wallet that they have is publicly available. Now, it's pseudo-anonymous, so we don't know who has the wallets, but it means that companies that are promoting their products or services can drop you know, little bits of their native token into everyone's wallet who participates in using their product or participates in a broader network. So it's really a marketing mechanism that is modeled to attract customers to their platform.
Mm. And like you said, it's been around for a while. Airdrops started taking place in the last bull run and they're getting really popular again now. I want to talk a bit further about us and what airdrops we have been farming. But before we leave Jupiter really quickly. There was a bit of controversy on this one and how it went down, and the founder had to jump in and address the backlash, and particularly from the Solana community around this one. And the crux of the issue lied in the distribution mechanism and how this impacted the broader ecosystem, because when it comes down to these airdrops, it's all about the token economics of the token, I guess, and some of the people were not happy about this. So you're never going to make everyone happy when it comes to these airdrops, I guess. But
yeah, I think one of the issues was the airdrop sort of calculation was made of between loyal supporters and people stimulating engagement, which obviously brings out the question of people who might create bots or people who aren't doing the most sincere participation. But in saying that,
there's always gamification with these things, though.
Exactly. In saying that, Arbitrum particularly was the last big one that I remember. There was people that set up 1,000 wallets to do one transaction, so they would have probably made a bot to do that. So I think it doesn't matter what you do, there's going to be people who game the system. It's just, this is crypto. Like, we've got some pretty smart people in the space.
Yeah. So I wanted to kind of ask you guys, because I can't seem to enter any kind of crypto chat or Discord at the moment without people talking about, or even get a newsletter at the moment, even the Bankless guys, everyone is airdrop farming, how to do it, where to do it. Have you guys done any or looked into it or?
I don't have the time. You know, I've got a list of things to do. I'm like, where do people, sometimes using some of these new protocols or these new apps will take you a couple of hours to figure out how to use them.
Yeah. What about you, Craig?
Yes, I have. I've done a few on Solana. I mean, we could talk about the projects, I'll put them in the show notes, but a few ones like Jupiter, there's Zeta, which is a trading platform. There's another one, I think it's called Drift, which is another trading platform. There's also an Ethereum L2 called Scroll, which is...
I've heard of that, yeah.
I know Blake's saying he doesn't have time, but...
Some of them are very labor-intensive.
I've gotten like 3 or 4 airdrops from like spending an hour doing something. So I would just, if something pops up, I would like just block out an hour on a Sunday and just get it done. And normally you probably lose $100 maybe in gas fees and just not being bothered to move things around. But
some of them don't.
Like, some of them don't happen
as well. I actually said a while ago I was going to try and do that as well, block out some time on a Sunday, because one of the groups that I'm in, there's someone very, very helpful in there laying it all down step by step. Went on the Mantle one, I've tried a few. Some of them are really simple where you just have to jump in. Like you said, there's a few gamification things that you have to do that you're spending basically half an hour and you're done. Others are a lot more in depth. You really have to jump in there, move a few things around, really engage, and it is very time consuming. But this is really an opportunity to spend very little amount of money for some really big gains for people that do have the time.
But you got to also remember, it's not guaranteed. This is just,
of course,
this
not.
Is just 100% us. This not. Is just us, yep. Like rumoring that those tokens will come out. They might eventually never 100%. Happen. But I agree. I think it's a well worth exercise for sure.
Okay. So in summary, you know, it is kind of like hitting the jackpot, and there is money to be made, but it's not high stakes because you don't have to put a lot in. You just have to sometimes put a bit of time in. So people are making big money and small money, but it's just your time and effort. So,
but in saying that, I will talk about the devil's advocate here. So as an example, with these trading platforms, they will incentivize you to trade. And if you're, you know, the average Joe Blow like myself and don't know how to trade, you end up losing more money trading, trying to get points to get the airdrop than you would have if you just didn't do it in the first place. So that's also the consideration.
Well, don't get suckered in, like Craig, ladies and gentlemen, to something that you don't know how to do, perhaps. Okay, folks, we'll leave it there for airdrop farming and move on to our next story, which is a bit of a scam watch, folks. With crypto hitting the mainstream hard this year, it's more important than ever to be on high alert for scams of all shapes and sizes. It's important to try and stay sharp and spot the scams no matter how crafty they get. We thought it best to have a chat about some safety issues, starting off by reporting on a few issues faced by Trezor earlier last week, Blake.
That's right. So the security dramas over at Trezor, which is a hardware wallet provider. It looks like a little USB dongle. You can store your crypto on it securely. They've been hit for about 66,000 customer details, not private keys, but customers like email addresses and the like. So users who have interacted with Trezor's support desk since December 2021 were affected. So a third party product, their information was leaked. This is a little bit concerning. We're talking about Ledger, the second largest hardware wallet provider. They've had a few instances of vulnerabilities being exploited. I don't think there's anything major to worry about here. Trezor's an extremely reputable brand. I've been using them since 2016, and I've never had a problem with them. I've never heard of any issues with the hardware at all, but it is interesting to note.
That's right, Blake. And I think, you know, since the space has matured, we've seen firms like Google and Meta now open their doors to regulated crypto and ETF ads after giving them the cold shoulder. Now, I still see scam ads on Twitter. I'm sure you guys do as well. I think these ad policy changes, particularly from the big guys, Google and Meta, to sort of push the average investor towards ETFs, as that is a much more safer and regulated way to get access. So hopefully this sort of weeds out some of the scams that we've seen in the past few years, but I think it's just got to stay vigilant, just be careful.
Yeah, so like you mentioned then, that is in effect as of last week, those changes from Google.
As of last week, yeah. But even just on that, Trace, like, we know we spoke about in our group chat the other day, Vitalik's YouTube got compromised and it was Michael Saylor, and there was a live stream of Michael Saylor talking about something, and they had the scam, send me a Bitcoin, I send you two back down the bottom. And this is like, looked exactly legit. Like a guy in our group chat who has his own crypto fund was like, "What? Like this looks legit." And it's crazy. And now with AI, like it's going to get worse and worse.
And look, speaking of staying sharp, here's a reminder as well. This is a big fish. You know, you talk about Michael Saylor, Ripple's co-founder. He also fell victim to a massive hack with over 112 million in XRP swiped from his personal account. Details are a bit scarce at the moment. Obviously, it's under investigation. But this also highlights that anyone can get done. That's just come out this week.
I thought I saw some whispers of him trying to say it was the company's Ripple and not his. Potentially, so.
Oh.
I've got a story for you, Tracy, as well. So I have a friend. He is a Twitter crypto influencer. He has about 50,000 followers, and he shared how he got hacked. So his account got hacked, and it was all about, you know, an airdrop. Click the link and connect your wallet for this airdrop. And I knew it was a scam, and he shared how it happened. So what happened was an account on Twitter that was like from CoinDesk, in quotation marks, with the blue tick, which you can now buy, said to him, "Hey," his name's Wolf on Twitter. "Hey, Wolf, like, I'd love to get your commentary on CoinDesk. Book in a time with me and let me know when you're free." So he clicked, you know, the Calendly links.
Calendly,
he clicked the Calendly link. And as he went through some of the prompts, bang, they got him, got into his Twitter. What?
So you're saying the link or connected to his wallet?
Yes, because I think he opened the link from his Twitter.
That seems pretty...
Yeah, and he wrote a thread on it about what's happened. We'll put it in the show notes.
That is, wow.
Yeah, crazy.
Okay. Look, as we wrap up this little scam watch section today, let's not overlook the impact of social influencers and seemingly trustworthy figures who are in this crypto space. Because obviously last week, you remember, we shared information about that church pastor who swindled his congregation. Well, just this week also, the SEC has charged a crypto trading course instructor with defrauding his students of $1.2 million. He told them that he was building a fund and apparently just chucked it all in Bitcoin and lost it all. So this highlights the importance of doing your own research, folks, and staying skeptical if something does seem too good to be true. So again, stay safe out there. With that, I think we'll head to a break. When we come back, loads of short, sharp news bites.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Crypto Curious podcast, and into our short, sharp news bites this week. I'll kick off first, boys. This one is big news, which I don't think got as much play as it should have. What about you guys? This is Visa enabling crypto withdrawals to Visa debit cards for 145 countries. That's huge. So you know how hard it is at the moment to get your money out into cash. You can now do that through MetaMask. It's huge. So you can get your cash directly out.
And you KYC through MetaMask. Mm-hmm. You load up your card details, your Visa card details, and then you can withdraw to that card.
Yes.
Wow.
In cash. That's cool. I know. That's really cool. Yeah.
100, and then you can go and spend it at something like 130 million places throughout the world.
Because there's always an extra step there. If you're trying to cash out, you have to go through MetaMask or your other web wallet to then your exchange, then to your
so
bank.
So this just cuts out basically.
Wow. Two jumps there.
Yeah, exactly. So that's huge. I think that's massive news. Mm.
Mm. It's all these things that are going to contribute to the usability of these networks.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'll go next, guys. Solana Summer. Oh, just watching Solana do this is just hurting me. I'm on the record saying Solana will be the GOAT this year, and it's doing it, but just a bit earlier than I thought. So
Craig's got his sunscreen on and his sunglasses right now, ladies and gents.
I don't have any Solana. That's why I'm so devastated. Anyway, they saw January all-time high in new addresses on the network. It's going to be because of Jupiter.
And NFTs as well. They've had a massive NFT run. Yep.
NFTs, obviously Dog With Hat, which is a Solana meme coin, has been going off as well. So it's hot over there.
Alrighty, what's up next? Coinbase boosts its advisory council with the addition of a former UK finance minister aiming to bridge the gap between traditional finance and crypto. This strategic move underlines Coinbase's commitment to fostering global crypto adoption and regulatory engagement. A fine story. Good on you, Coinbase.
Guys, Germany has seized over 50,000 Bitcoin in a copyright case. Turns out they confiscated a piracy site which was launched in 2013. They bought Bitcoin with profits, and the German government has seized it. $2.6 billion. Thanks for coming.
That's massive. I'm sorry.
That's huge for their balance sheet. That's huge.
It's huge.
They're going to buy their own bonds with it, with the profits.
All right, next up, FTX is coming to an end. We've been chatting about this.
I'm over it.
For 18 months.
I'm sure the people are waiting for their money.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh. I never want to say those words again. I'm done with them.
But it looks like your creditors are going to be paid back in full. $16 billion, which is incredible.
How is that even possible?
You know, those administrators are charging, I think, $1.5 million a day.
Can you imagine what they would have made in
Mate, ridiculous amounts. And yeah, really incredible to see these people get their cash back. So I think, is the exchange gonna get back up?
Relaunch isn't happening. No.
Wow.
Canned it.
I wonder why, because they could have sold that off.
I know, yep.
Yeah, interesting. Mm. Okay. Well, I think Coinbase will be happy about that.
Okay, and here we go. OPNX, the exchange that was built by the founders of doomed hedge fund Three Arrows, is shutting down. This one is come about because they have been sued. I think they've been sued in Singapore, which means that they can no longer do business. The three guys, and one of them is about to do a stint in prison. So, yeah, it just looks like whatever they're touching is
Didn't they raise like $15 million USD or $25 million USD to build the exchange?
I can't confirm, but yeah, that's it. So it's another one bites the dust there.
And just to follow you up, Blake, with FTX, Celsius as well, they've come out of bankruptcy and they plan to distribute $3 billion to their creditors, and that's been approved by 98% of their account holders. We'll see how that goes. PayPal and Coinbase will assist with the distribution of assets to the creditors. Yeah. So all these big players, the stories are closing. What are we going to talk about, guys?
Look, I feel bad that we're sitting here going, oh, I'm sick of talking about Celsius and FTX. But the good news is that people are getting their cash back and their funds. So that is good. Yeah. Yep.
So BRC20 and Binance. For those that don't know what BRC20 is, it's a standard on the Bitcoin network, similar to the ERC20 on the Ethereum network that allows people to mint tokens for all sorts of purposes. So Binance has jumped on the Bitcoin inscriptions game, launching an in-app marketplace for BRC20 tokens. So essentially a Bitcoin exchange for Bitcoin-based tokens. Yeah, so looking forward to seeing Binance adopt this and everyone else adopt it. I think this is going to be a massive growth area in 2024, 2025, as that ecosystem builds in the same way that the Ethereum ecosystem built in 2021.
And I think we'll leave it there for this week, folks. Hope you've enjoyed the show. Anything else you boys want to add?
Buy the dip, sell the rip.
All right. Thanks for diving into the crypto world with us today. If you've enjoyed the journey, bring a friend along next episode. We're all part of this evolving crypto narrative together. Keep exploring and let's meet again next week for more crypto clarity. Until then, stay curious, stay connected. You can do this by joining the Crypto Curious Facebook group, our Instagram page, and be sure to hit the subscribe button where you're listening to the podcast now. If you're looking to DCA into the crypto market, plan to use the Bamboo app. Don't forget to use the Crypto Curious code, which is Curious, for $10 of free Bitcoin to get you started. Link is in the show notes below, and we'll see you next week. Bye for now.
See you guys.
See you guys.
You have been listening to an EquityMates Media production. In the spirit of reconciliation, EquityMates Media acknowledges the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea and community. We pay our respects to their elders past and present and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today. This podcast is intended for education and entertainment purposes. Any advice is general advice only and has not taken into account your personal financial circumstances, needs, or objectives. Before acting on general advice, you should consider if it is relevant to your needs and read the relevant product disclosure statement. And if you're unsure, please speak to a financial professional. The hosts of this podcast and their guests may have positions in the companies mentioned. EquityMates Media operates under an Australian Financial Services License 540697.